Have you tried not having lions when people want your advice?
There are so many little-known fairy tales, folklore stories, and chapters of history to explore in this world. So much of it is wackadoo! Unbelievable, disturbing, enthralling, mind-bending, and just plain weird. When I find these stories, they get stuck in my head, and I absolutely have to share them with someone. Usually I inflict these tales on my husband Dan, along with our chocolate lab Lily and cat Collins, but I thought, why not share these with you? I'm Gina Wagner. Welcome to Tail Wagging, a gleeful retelling of little-known fairy tales, folklore, history, and more. In case you didn't listen to these episodes back to back, let me give you a real quick recap of what happened in part one of The Yellow Dwarf. The queen's daughter, Bellissima, her hand was promised to the Yellow Dwarf in exchange for safety from lions because of cake. Princess tries to get out of this deal by marrying King of the Gold Mines. At the wedding, it is crashed by the Yellow Dwarf and Fairy of the Desert. There's a big battle. There are basilisks and a giant cat. The princess has been kidnapped by the Yellow Dwarf, and we don't know what has happened to Prince King of the Gold Mines Knight. Oh yeah, he's going to be knighted in this one because he doesn't have enough titles. So enjoy as King of the Gold Mines suddenly becomes the main character and other weirdos show up to supplement this story. Have fun! The king is like, oh no. And then suddenly everything goes dark and he finds himself being carried through the air. It turned out that the Fairy of the Desert actually fell in love with the handsome young King of the Gold Mines as soon as she saw him.
Dear God.
So now we're pairing off. The dwarf has the princess. The fairy has the king.
She was really old, right?
So old. Dreadfully old. Terribly, terribly old and ugly. Yeah. So she decides the best way to court him would be to carry him off to a frightful cavern, chain him to a rock, and eventually the fear of death will make him forget the princess, and he'll become her slave. Yay!
Yay!
That's romance.
You know, that's all aspire to in our old age, be able to carry off young men, chain them to rocks, and turn them into our slaves.
Yeah.
It's good.
She gives him the ability to see again, but leaves him chained up because, you know, using her magic, she appears to him as a young and beautiful fairy and pretends like she just showed up there like, oh, how did I get here? Like, ha ha, oh, hi. What are you doing here? I see you're chained to a rock. Hello. And how did you happen to be in this situation? He's like, and the king, quite deceived, is like, oh, beautiful fairy. The fairy who brought me here took away my sight. But I think she was the fairy of the desert. And I don't know why I'm here. And she's like, oh, I know. You won't get away until you've married her. This has happened before. Like, she'll pretty much try to take anything she has a fancy to. It literally says anything. It doesn't have to be a prince.
Anything.
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 She'll just carry it off and chain it to a rock. Then he kind of notices, like, for the first time the story reveals her feet, which look like a griffin. So this is the first time we learn she has griffin feet. And apparently when she changes her appearance, the feet still stay like a griffin.
Checking out those feet. He's got a foot thing?
I'm guessing he's got a foot fetish, because otherwise why would you look?
Mm.
Yeah, feet. So then he decides, like, well, I got to do a little acting.
So he's like, well, you know, if the fairy of the desert would set me free, my gratitude would oblige me to be hers. I would just have to. And the fairy's like, really? You mean it? That would be cool. And he's like, well, it would be more flattering to my vanity to be loved by a fairy than by a princess. Because on the hierarchy of things, it's like princess and then fairy. Like, fairies are way hotter than princesses. I totally choose fairy. Fairy of the desert, really excited. Still young and beautiful right now. She has him mount her chariot, harnesses swans to it instead of bats, because pretty. We're going for a theme here. They fly away together. They fly over to where the princess is being held, who is stuck in this castle, the walls of which reflect the sun's rays so hotly that no one could approach it without being burnt to a cinder. So she's stuck in this castle. If you touch it, you're just going to burn up. Uh-huh. And they're flying by with swans. And
why are they headed to this castle?
Well, I guess the fairy wants to go rub it in her face, because that seems to be what happens here. Because the princess sees the beautiful fairy and is immediately jealous. She's like, wasn't it bad enough that I was kidnapped by a dwarf and I'm in this like horrible castle that, you know, I also have to see the king of the gold mines has stopped loving me and is with this beautiful fairy now? What? The king, he really does love her, but he can't tell her right now because he is still being held hostage. So,
drama.
He's like, oh, haha, this chance meeting with an unhappy princess for whom I once had a passing fancy. I'm so over her. You know, before I was lucky enough to meet you, you know, your hotness, you know, seeing her has affected me little. I don't even care. It's fine. Everything is fine. I'd rather die than leave you. And the fairy says, oh, prince, can I believe that you really love me that much? And he's like, well, you know, just, I'll prove it to you in time. But in the meantime, like, please don't refuse to aid this princess. Because, you know, I'm with you, but let's not be mean to her. You know, it's kind of be nice. And the fairy is a little conflicted, though, because she says, do you really want me to use my powers against the yellow dwarf, who's my best friend? And take away from him a proud princess who's, like, my rival? And he's like, well, really appreciate it. And then for some reason they leave. They fly away to a splendid palace. There's emeralds and swans and diamonds and rubies and all sorts of stuff and a song. And she leads the fairy puts the king in the most splendid room that can be imagined. And, like, leaves him alone for a little while. And he's like, well, if I'm going to pull this off, I think I got to, like, spruce up a little, get into character. So he curls his hair and he puts on a grander coat that happens to be in the room. And she comes in and she's like, damn, you looking good. I can really tell you're trying. That's so nice. He's like, oh, this old thing. What? He's convinced her, and after a time, he's going to be allowed to walk by himself on the seashore.
Wow. How long?
A time. Period of time, he's allowed to go outside and walk on the beach.
And this whole time?
Princess is in a burning hot castle, miserable.
And this whole time, he and the fairy are...
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Let's not, you know, let's not get confused. What did he have a headache every night for however long this took?
We really don't know.
All right.
So he's allowed to walk on the beach now.
Must be love.
And every time he's on the beach, she uses magic to raise such a terrible storm that the boldest pilot would not venture out in it. I guess there are pilots in this period of time. She's not afraid of him being able to escape because, like, the storm is so much. It's just so much. So it must be a really nice walk on the beach. You're just in a storm the whole time.
It's the worst. What if every time you went to the beach, it was a storm?
Like, it's the only way I can go outside. I just have to go out there. It's like 50-mile-an-hour winds. You're like,
worst beach ever.
He writes some poetry because he's sad. And then a mermaid shows up. Hooray. She says, I know how sad you are losing your princess and being kept a prisoner by the fairy of the desert. I can help you escape. Where otherwise, like, you are just going to have to live here for 30 years or more. Which is oddly specific. The king of the mines hardly knows how to respond because he's worried it's a trick from the fairy. But she's like, hey, you can trust me. I'm not trying to entrap you like other women in this story. No one else has done that in this story. The mermaid says she is actually super pissed off at the yellow dwarf and the fairy of the desert. So she's not going to help them. She also sees the poor princess constantly, whose beauty and goodness make me pity her so much. So I'm going to help you escape.
So they must be connected to the same body of water, I guess. Geography.
So this being said, like, oh, if she's mad at the dwarf and the fairy, the king says, I trust you absolutely. I'll do whatever you tell me.
Why is she the fairy of the desert if she lives on the water?
This was her summer home. You gotta go on vacation sometime. You can't just live in the desert all the time.
Do they have deserts in France?
I don't know if the story takes place in France.
It's a French story.
Well, it's an autobiography.
It's definitely French. Because there are way too many sonnets for it to not be in France.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, please tell me what's happening to the princess. And she's like, no time to talk. Come with me and I will carry you to the Castle of Steel. We're going to leave on the shore a figure so like you, the fairy herself will be deceived by it. So she's like really good at trickery. She collects a bundle of seaweed and blows on it 3 times and then orders the seaweed to stay stretched upon the sand looking like the prince. And so the seaweed becomes the king. It just kind of looks like his body. And everyone was really astonished because it's like pale and still as if the king had gotten like taken out by a rogue wave. He's just dead now. Like, oh no, sad seaweed king.
I just died on your beach tonight. Just died on your beach tonight.
Okay. Right. So they're like, they swam joyfully together. I'm guessing he's like on her back. It probably looks like that second Zoolander movie where he's holding her flotation devices for buoyancy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way, she's like, okay, I'm going to fill you in. Everything's going on with the princess. She's super miserable. This is all the stuff that happens at the palace, yada, yada, yada. Describes the furniture. But the princess thinks of no one but you, and the dwarf cannot persuade her to look at him. And he's like, oh, tell me more. This sounds great. And they're like, well, she's kind of ticked at you for showing up with that beautiful fairy, because imagine her despair, for she thought you had fallen in love with the young and beautiful fairy. And he's like, how could she think that? Well, because you kind of said it in front of her, dude. And he's like, well, she would never think that I had felt that way. And mermaid says, well, I love this. You know best, answered the mermaid, smiling kindly at him. When people are as much in love with each other as you two are, they don't need advice from anyone else. I can only think she's being sarcastic here.
Yeah, insert French sarcasm.
They get to the Castle of Steel. They land on the only side that is touching the water, where there just doesn't happen to be one of these burning walls. Because they're like, oh, natural barrier. I don't know. It seems like a big loophole to me. So the mermaid's like, all right, I'm going to stay here. You just shout if you need anything. You will have many enemies to fight before you can reach the princess. So take this sword. It is magic. Never let it fall from your hand. It is made of diamonds. I'm going to wait by this rock. If you need help carrying off the princess, I won't fail you. For the queen, her mother, is my best friend. And it was for her sake I went to rescue you. So now we found out the queen had a mermaid best friend the whole time. And we just threw her in at the end of the story here. For some reason.
Should have gotten her advice on who to marry. And
I know. If a mermaid was your best friend and she has magic powers, Why wouldn't you go talk to her?
I think the easier explanation is that this is a lie and the mermaid has an ulterior motive. Clearly you're not a friend of my mother. She had no friends.
So this sword was made from a single diamond. Must be really big.
What the?
And it's more brilliant than the sun.
It's like the diamond pickaxe in Minecraft. Yeah. It's a sword. Okay.
And then for some reason, the narrator suddenly says, we must now go back to the Fairy of the Desert. The narrator's never been a character before, so that's kind of weird phrasing. Just like, meanwhile, back at the Fairy of the Desert compound.
This must be King Narrator. He's been there the whole time. King with name Narrator.
Meanwhile.
King of the Lands of Narration.
So they just wanted to let us know that the fairy got really concerned because he hadn't come back from his walk. She found his seaweed body, and she's like, oh, no. It's funny, though, because going out to look for him, she sent 100 of her ladies. I guess she has got 100. I don't think his life was that bad. She had, like, 100 other ladies there, too.
I think there's a lot we're
We're not knowing here.
This is obviously his version of the story that he told to his lady and when he got back with her.
She's trying real hard to court him. She's doing a lot better. She's not doing the chains thing anymore. But she sends out 100 ladies and they are loaded up with presents for him.
What?
And they're just trying to find him on the beach.
Sure.
But when they find him, they had all these pearls, fruit, flowers, birds, you know, things guys like.
Wait, hold on. Go down the list of things guys like again.
Golden cups of wonderful workmanship. Okay.
Yeah. Coffee mugs are a big business.
Diamonds, amber, coral, pearls. Bales of the richest and most beautiful stuffs.
Stuffs.
It literally says most beautiful stuffs.
Most beautiful stuffs.
It could be
stuffs.
Anything, but what it's beautiful.
What would that even be to a guy? What would the most beautiful stuffs be to a guy?
For you...
iPhones.
So beautiful.
New iPhones. All the colors. New gadgets.
And then
new
the rest
had
rot fruit and flowers and even birds. Yep.
Birds.
Yep.
Okay.
But then, you know, to their great horror, they see the image of the king. And, oh, she sees his body and she's weeping and howling. Calls upon her 11 sisters who are also fairies who come to her assistance. They are all so upset. And she decides she's going to make a wonderful monument over what they think is his grave. And then it doesn't even change paragraphs. It just suddenly goes back to the king. Like, while they're collecting stuff for the monument, he was thanking the mermaid. And yeah, he's walking along. He's got a sword. For all the describing they did of the wedding and the songs and the poems, it really breezes by all the action sequences I'm about to tell you. It's literally like, he didn't go too far before he was surrounded by 4 terrible sphinxes. And then he took them down with one swipe of his sword. Boom. One blow. All right, first scene done. Second scene. He had hardly turned to continue his search when he met 6 dragons covered in scales that were harder than iron. So he cut them to pieces, one after the other.
Your scales weren't that hard.
Yes, this is gripping. And then it gets really difficult because 24 pretty graceful nymphs show up holding garlands of flowers.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, where are you going, prince? It is our duty to guard this place. And if we let you pass, great misfortunes will happen to you and to us. So please don't go in. Do you really want to kill like 24 girls who have never displeased you in any way? And the king, he just doesn't know what to do. Like, I didn't expect that I was going to have to kill all these women. They're just hanging out here. It goes against all his ideas as a knight, because now he's a king, a prince, and a knight. He can't do anything a lady begs him not to do.
What's his name? His name is Prince Knight.
Prince Knight.
King of the
gold mines.
Yeah, king of the gold mines.
But then suddenly a voice in his ear cries, strike, strike, and do not spare, or your princess is lost forever. We don't know what this voice is. I think it's his inner monologue.
Always listen to your conscience, kids, when it tells you to kill 24 women with flowers.
So he rushes forward and breaks their garlands, scattering them in all directions, and went on without any further hindrance. So all he had to do was like break their flower chains up. And now they just go, whoa! and they run away. It's fine.
Okay.
He finds a princess. She's looking pale and weary. And he's like, hey, honey. And she's like, you know, because she's still mad at him for flirting with that girl. And he's like, oh, princess, please don't be angry with me. Let me explain everything. I'm not to blame for what happened. It wasn't me. It was her. And she's like, did I not see you flying through the air with the loveliest being imaginable? Was that against your will? Like, she's getting real huffy now. She is very upset. And he's like, yeah, you saw that, but it was the fairy of the desert. And, you know, she's carrying me off in a chariot to the end of the earth. And I was a captive. But then I got the help of this friendly mermaid. I came here to rescue you. And, you know, like, he throws himself at her feet to beg for forgiveness. But the one thing the mermaid told him was, you got to hold this sword the whole time. This was the one thing he really needed to do that was super important. But when he throws himself at her feet, he drops the sword. So the yellow dwarf, who was crouching behind a lettuce, he springs out and seizes it, knowing its wonderful power. So now the lettuce-sized dwarf has the magic sword. Princess is afraid. And then the dwarf utters some magic words and summons two giants who bind the king with great chains of iron.
Okay.
Like, we're really getting close to the end here, I promise.
Okay.
So the dwarf is like, ha ha, I'm the master of my rival's fate, but I will give him his life and permission to leave unharmed if you, princess, will consent to marry me. And then he twirls his mustache. Ha ha ha. The king says, let me die 1,000 times rather.
Since when was consent a plot point in the story?
Princess says, must you die? Could anything be more terrible? And then they go back and forth quite a bit over what's more terrible, like dying, being married. You know, it's a toss-up. The king says that you should marry the dwarf would be more terrible. The princess says, let us die together. And the king says, let me die for you, princess. And then she's like, no, no. This is very upsetting, she says to the dwarf. Rather than that, I will do as you wish. The king says, cruel princess. Would you make my life horrible to me by marrying another before my eyes? And dwarf says, no, I am very concerned about you being my rival. You are not invited to the wedding. And then he stabs him with the magic sword. Prince Knight, King of the Gold Mines, dies. And then the princess, seeing this, can't live without him. So she sinks down beside him and dies of a broken heart. Yeah. So ended the unfortunate lovers, whom not even the mermaid could help, because all the magic power had been lost with the diamond sword. Epilogue, Fairy of the Desert finds out that King of the Gold Mines was not dead on her beach and pulls down his monument because she's pissed.
That's important.
Yeah. And
crucial moment.
And the mermaid, who felt bad for these fools, turned the lovers into two tall palm trees who will always stand side by side, whispering together of their faithful love and caressing one another with their interlacing branches and probably reciting poetry. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, what'd you think of the story?
It was terrible. It was a story about a queen,
uh-huh.
And then about a princess,
uh-huh.
And then about the queen,
uh-huh.
And then about the princess,
uh-huh.
And then about a prince, knight, king.
Who became a very big character in this. He, like, kind of took over the story for a while.
Yeah, he and the fairy cougar went off to not the desert.
Mm-hmm, to the beach. They went to the beach.
They went to the beach. And lived where there were storms. God knows how long.
We know it wasn't 30 years, but it could have been.
We're not going to talk about what went on between the cougar and her...
And 100 her ladies and 11 and sisters.
Her, yeah, 11 sisters, 100 ladies. And, a mermaid?
Yeah, we also learned that there's a hierarchy. Like, princess is this hot, fairy is hotter, and then mermaid is, like, more powerful and presumably more hot than everyone.
Why presumably more hot? Did we discuss the looks of the mermaid?
We didn't, but it just seems to be power is driven by beauty as well in this story at times.
Yeah, basically. Well, I mean, no, the fairy of the desert's like really ugly. Just
oh yeah, she's ugly underneath. Yeah,
and the dwarf is pretty powerful but super ugly.
Yep. And there are cats and basilisks and lions and giants and dragons and nymphs and.
I mean, are we supposed to have any? Are we supposed to learn anything from this? Is there like what?
Don't.
What have we? What have we done?
Don't here? Accept a portrait from your neighboring kingdom.
If this were like a movie, if this were like treated like a movie, it's terrible because we're supposed to, by the end, be rooting or at least feel bad when the lovers die. But they were both vain, rich idiots.
They were insufferable. There's nothing charming about her. I don't care what you said, Mom.
And also, whatever this scam that the dwarf and the fairy have going so that pick up young hotties is kind of...
Bring us cake. Gotta bring cake.
Where'd your cake go? You fell asleep.
What happened to your cake?
We all know that hot people can't not eat cake.
Yeah. Especially while you're by yourself and no one's looking.
Are there lions?
Well, yeah, because she saw them and was very afraid. And
did she?
They had two heads and four rows of teeth and 8 feet.
Sounds like something somebody would say after making a bad decision.
I had to promise them to you that the lions had two heads.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Thank you for listening to Tail Wagging, a gleeful retelling of little-known fairy tales, folklore, history, and more. If you'd like to get in touch or send us a story you'd like to hear on the podcast, you can find us on our Facebook page, Tail Wagging Podcast, or on Twitter at Tail Wagging Pod. That's TaleWagingPod. We'd really love it if you could take a moment to please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. It really helps us get found on this new adventure. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, tweet about it on the interwebs, or send a raven. And if you are under an evil enchantment or have been turned into a creature of some kind, I can't promise listening to the next episode will transform you back, but it might. This is Tail Wagging. May all your dreams come true.